Michelle speaking.
Oh, hi, Michelle. This is Fernette from Dyslexic Advantage. Is this still a good time for you?
Hang on 1 second. It's a little chopped. See if I can put you on speakerphone here.
Uh-huh.
Let's give that a try. Is that a little clearer?
I think so.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay. Great. Well, I came across that newspaper article with you and actually read that comic of yours about being a young person with dyslexia, and I thought it'd be great to interview you and find a little bit more about your backstory and what you're doing now with your Center for Cartoon Studies.
Sure, and I went online and learned a little bit more about what you're doing, too. It's pretty incredible work. Just, of course, search, go onto your site and whatnot, and such a great service.
Oh, great, so yeah. We love the community. We really do. It's fantastic, and it's been a lot of fun, you know, working with all the, you know, just the wide range of people and just seeing dyslexia from a different perspective. It's just a fantastic community. It really is.
Yeah, I can't wait, to be honest, I can't wait to learn a bit more about it, because I don't necessarily feel that I've been part of too much of a community.
Oh, neat.
In regards to this one. Yeah, so I actually somebody mentioned to me last year to look at your organization, and I was at a print, I'm a printmaker as well, and I was working on a project, and a fellow artist said, you have to check this out, and so she pointed me to a few things, and I just haven't fully dove into them all yet, but it is interesting to imagine like that. I guess I'm part of a community. I haven't really connected with it. Isn't that interesting?
Oh, neat. Yeah. Well, you know, maybe would you like her audiobook? I could send you a copy of her book, Dyslexic Advantage.
Yeah, you know, I may even have it still on my phone, but I would love that. That would be
okay.
Great.
Okay, super.
In case I don't have it, I'll let you know if I don't have it. I'll definitely take you up on that.
Yeah, sounds great. So tell us a little bit about, because I'm going to include, thanks for letting us include that. I'm going to include that in the, just maybe two pages, and have people go and read the whole thing on your site. But where would you like to start? Would you like to start as a kid, or would you like to start as now looking back? You choose.
Yeah, I don't know. In addition to the dyslexia, I probably have ADHD like most, or I don't know if it's that severe, but I jump around naturally.
Good.
I don't know. I mean, whatever's helpful for you. I think maybe it's more as we get older, you know, and we have some experience behind us, we can reflect a little on, you know, on our time and the struggles that we've had growing up. I know for me, like all these, I'm in a fair amount of interview. I'm asked to be interviewed. Used to be a bit more with regards to the Center for Cartoon Studies, and more, I think people are interviewing me, like, what's your, you know, why are you, how did you get drawn to comics, you know, and so the more these interviews came forward, and the more I started talking about my challenges in learning how to read and different struggles that I had growing up, I think I kind of came out letting people know that I was dyslexic, even though pretty good chance those around me knew something was up. I just, you know, for so many years, I think I just hid it as an embarrassment. And a lot of it has to do with timing, you know, like for me during the 70s or 80s and 70s, you know, it was like there wasn't really the late 70s when I was in grade school, there wasn't really like there weren't many resources, and I don't even know that like my parents knew what to do, and I was part of a private Catholic school, and they didn't know what to, you know, it was just like one thing after another where I just truly felt inadequate. I felt stupid. I felt something was wrong. Why can't I read? You know, why can't I understand stuff when it's presented to me in this way, like all the other kids can? And I mean, I really, really, really struggled and was almost held back many years in school, in grade school. And it really would be a different story today, probably, because, you know, I think there's probably an opportunity to identify the problem and then come up with approaches to support kids, you know. So I don't know. I mean, I think, like, I the more that I've thought about that time and connected it to what I'm doing today, which is really, I've had a visual arts pursuit probably my whole life, you know. From a young age, I was drawing to communicate, and I never took it to the same sort of level that, like, our incredible students are in the faculty that I work with, where they just knew right from, many of them had almost, you could say, a calling, you know, to work as a cartoonist, to develop visual narrative. For me, I think I stumbled around for many years and still do a little. But it was definitely an outlet for me at a very young age, drawing and showing a narrative sort of format in my even in my paintings, you know. There was a bit of like an opportunity to dive into what I was doing, feel good about it, and I was actually, I mean, like, you know, I don't have drawings to look back to, unfortunately, from that time. But I do remember being a little harassed by some classmates telling me that it looked like I copied work because it was pretty good. And but I didn't, and I have nothing against copying, by the way, but I did not copy. And I remember being hurt even by that, you know, because it was something for me that gave me pride and gave me confidence. And I used to try and read the Sunday comics. I wasn't really even totally upfront with my parents about the struggles I was having, because it got to the point that it was just so humiliating that I kept a lot of it to myself. And I probably went through most of grade school possibly finishing one book cover to cover, but I wouldn't even bet on that. I just really found different ways and approaches to learn, you know. And if I were to be able to grab one of the books that I had at that age, I would be, I'd bet you $1 million that there's sketches and doodles all over it.
Is that right?
Yeah, I remember doing that and getting yelled at quite frequently because they weren't my books. They were the libraries or, you know, temporary loans through the school. But I would just devour the pages and, you know, and really sit on a page and think of it, think of what I was reading. I know, I do remember creating images of what I was reading, you know. So, you know, whether it be the characters, I would start to imagine, you know, the descriptions and the stories would be enough for me to be able to manifest some drawing, you know?
Yeah.
So, and that always helped engage me into the story. And whether or not I finish it, I don't know, but at least I'd have enough, I'd get bits and pieces of, you know, through what I could read and what I couldn't comprehend. And maybe the story was slightly different, but there was still a thread of knowledge that was acquired, right? And, eventually, I found my way through all this, as most of us do in our world, right?
Yeah.
We figure our own little tricks and techniques, and mine was heavily doodle and drawing based. And, you know, I went on to eventually read comics, and my dad, and I think I maybe mentioned this in that comic, like, I can't thank my father's no longer alive, but I really can thank him and my mother. They were just advocates for me. And my dad noticed that I was reading comics, and they weren't really something you'd see at my school. You know, like, my school was, like, you know, just like probably a lot of schools at that time, textbooks, heavy textbooks. And comics would surface because my dad would bring them from shops, you know, wherever he would go, and he loved comics, and so, like, they would just be sitting around, and they weren't super engaging comics, to be honest, but, you know, they were just like, you know, Looney Tunes sort of stuff, you know, but nothing too deep, but I still was reading, and my dad noticed this, and, you know, Daffy Duck, all that stuff, you know, just Roadrunner even comics at the time. I mean, it was basically what I was probably watching Saturday morning in print, but I was learning to read, and he noticed it, and he just jumped on it, and so I he would just pick up comics all the time and leave them sitting all over the place. And we were early risers, so out of my family of five other, you know, I had four other siblings, five of us, I was always the one that was up early with him, really early, sometimes 5:30 or 6 on a weekend, and we would read the comics, and I'm pretty much convinced that was a turning point for me.
Oh, that's great.
It took me, Yeah, it took me a while. I would, like, connect the image to the dialogue and then, you know, and probably, like I say, recreate those stories in my own way. Probably not the intended way sometimes until I finally understood how to read and you know, read the strip properly, and eventually moved over to short stories. But even with that, I'll tell you, I struggled. So I don't even think today that I would be somebody who would say that I'd pick up a book and read it. I'm very thankful for audiobooks, and it carried me through my grad school and my PhD studies. Audiobooks were, and podcasts are, now, for the last many years, podcasts have been a real amazing tool for me. To acquire knowledge, to, you know, to be able to feel like I can dig as deep as others on the topic. Never in a million years would I have imagined that I would have gone on to college, the first one in my family to do so. Mm-hmm. And to not only that, but to pursue a graduate degree and then to pursue a PhD in education and technology.
Wow, great for you.
I didn't finish the PhD, but I did start. I withdrew because my mother was sick at the time. Just haven't gone back, but I really do. I would love to finish one of those things that just sits at me like, oh, why didn't I finish that? Because I really do love the topic, and of course I'm in it right now. You know, I'm applying what I have passion towards, which is education technology. I love the idea of finding and exploring new ways to teach. Especially because it's probably related to my own struggles, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, and I think you through comics and through your educational programs, you can reach people who otherwise wouldn't have been reached. It's just, it's like another, you know, kind of ripple that you experienced when you were a kid. There's so many other kids who are just out there, just not being able to connect or having this language, a visual experience, a narrative that doesn't get tapped because, you know, they're being asked to, in school, for instance, really translate everything into words and less so in pictures. So, but now visual storytelling is real cool. You know, it's like...
Yeah, you're right. It probably wasn't when I was younger. Like, I remember the nuns, they did not want to see comics. And I went to a small Catholic school in West Dallas, Wisconsin, just a suburb of Milwaukee. And they did not want to be comics, and they certainly wanted me to be, you know, like everyone else. And I'm different in a lot of ways, and reading is just one. You know, like the reading challenge that I have is just one. I was also very athletic, and that really separated me out from a lot of the girls in my class, and that added another strain, really, to me being different than some of my classmates. And, you know, wearing the skirt to school every day was a bit of a challenge when I was trying to play football with my brother and their friends. So anyway, I think, like, who knows, but what I would like to do is to give back. And I think, like, I'm trying to figure out the best, you know, I'm doing many things, but one of the areas that I would like to, you know, support is kids that are struggling with reading. So I go into some classrooms and I do different things that I feel are kind of helping that, you know, moving that forward. But I still haven't found the right thing that's gonna have, hopefully, you know, some real powerful impact. I do believe in connecting to individuals, and I can spot these kids in the crowd when I go to talk at school. Uh-huh. I can spot the kid that was me, you know, and not all of them, but a lot of them. And I also coached for years until last year. I was a baseball and a basketball coach for boys, you know, like from second, third, fourth, fifth, until my son now is graduating from sixth grade. And that was a great way for me to also, I would identify these kids. Cause, you know, I think the struggle that I've seen with kids with dyslexia, it's visible or at least noticeable in other forms. And it's one of the most common things that I can see is an insecurity that tends to surface occasionally. And that's, you know, I think that if I can help in any way, that I just feel that that's an area that I would like to explore more and find ways that I can continue to support kids.
Yeah.
Because they don't need to, I think, like, you know, the struggles are what probably made me who I am today. But I had enough of other struggles, so why not chip this one away?
Yeah.
We have enough other struggles in the universe right now. I think, like, anything we can do to take away a few, why not?
Yeah. Now, I know, so our son recently finished his BFA in children's book illustration. So I think more than other families, we know a little bit about, you know, the visual world really through his programs and his loves and interests and things like that, you know. Now, some people, if like, it sounded like your parents were wonderful and supportive, and I'm assuming that they were not in an art field, or were they?
No, you know, my parents both grew up in very challenging situations. My mother grew up in an orphanage and in and out, and my father actually lost his mother at a young age, and he was homeless for a brief period of time. They just never pursued, you know, they really kind of followed a more traditional path at that time. And my dad worked at Chrysler Corporation mm-hmm. as a manager. My mother, you know, was, they were both quite creative. They were creative in the way that they lived. And they also were so, like, inspiring that given everything that they were born into, that they, you know, they built so much, and they just had so much success in their life, given all that.
Yeah.
But my mother started her own business. I would say entrepreneurialism is something. And I think if you're an entrepreneur, you're probably fairly creative.
Mm-hmm.
She was never short of, like, designing things, making things. I would say my mother was just filled with creativity, but she never, like, pursued, like, a traditional arts path. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
She started some businesses. She refinished furniture. She would redecorate. She was, had a company, two companies that she started, small businesses, but, and then, of course, you know, cake decorating, you name it. She brought, like, she was like the Martha Stewart of that time. You know what I mean?
That's great.
Like, she could do anything, really, that she wanted. It seemed like if she thought of something, she just did it, which I joined her because it was exciting.
Yeah. Well, what I would love to do is, I'd love to, you know, for some people, like, you know, just through our son's interests, I've been to art fairs, I've been to comic cons and things like that, and actually, you know, have an interest, because visual communication is now, I mean, there's visual sketchnoting and colleges and grad school and stuff like that, and businesses and visual storytelling that's so important, and movies and all this kind of stuff. I think maybe it'd be nice, but I know that some parents, they think, you know, my son, my daughter, they doodle all the time. They're all into comics, and I feel like it's a waste of time. What advice would you give for someone who has a child who might really be this doodler, storyteller? And, you know, what's the possible upsides, or what can you do with learning more from professional artists and cartoonists?
Well, I think keep drawing. Encourage them. I know, honestly, I think you have to encourage kids to keep doing something they enjoy. So keep drawing. Encourage them to keep drawing. There are many ways that I think a student can, or a parent, and I think there are many tools out there that can help them take that drawing and pair it with the writing. And starting with something as simple as, like, a 3-panel comic. And you don't need much more than a piece of paper and a pen. The resources that are out there, including, like, on our site, we have a couple of free materials, cartoon club kit sort of things that are for younger kids that they can download and self, you know, basically self-directed tools mm-hmm. that are out there right now. I know that there's a lot of material and teaching online, but I do also think there's nothing wrong with searching for a book. Like, you know, we produce this book called Adventures in Cartooning. One of my colleagues did with two alumni. And within it, you basically read a very fun, exciting story, and then you learn about cartooning tips and techniques. And there's other books like this, too. There's a Maker series with First Seconds that came out. as well, and one of our alumni produced how to make a comic, you know, book. So I think there's a lot of resources in print and online, and I think it's good to be able to occasionally shut down the computer too and take a break and just draw and continue to draw and use some of these resources that are available to you to be able to really focus on getting better at drawing and getting better at writing and pairing your words to your pictures and building your story. You have to start somewhere. But supporting, I think supporting your child is like one of the most important things you can do. And it depends on the age, I guess, too. But, you know, there's camps and workshops and, you know, we offer like an online cartoon club now and kids are registering from all over the country.
Great.
And believe it or not, they're drawing on a Saturday. And, you know, they're actually attending an hour and a half Zoom drawing session that's led by two alumni of the Center for Cartoon Studies. And so these kids, you know if the kid's dedicated if they're doing stuff like that. So I think supporting them is the most important thing. And there's a lot of graphic novels for young adults. And it's actually one of the fastest growing sectors of the graphic novel publishing industry. So there's some great titles that the parents should just keep putting in front of their kids. And most libraries right now can't get enough of them.
Yeah.
So I think if you go to your local library, and even right now, I know we're in this, isolation time. Some libraries are opening up and allowing you to, you know, pick up books that you might be able to check out. There might even be some free libraries where some of these books are floating around, but Raina Telgemeier and a few others are, like, very well known for their graphic novels, like Smile, that speaks to kids as well about personal experiences that are totally relatable to many, or if not, it can at least be a point of, like, maybe having compassion, empathy, or understanding for your classmates. Find these young adult stories and keep putting them in front of your kids, and you know they can be a point of inspiration if they see Raina doing this, if they see JP Kuvert, one of our alumni who just produced this graphic novel on how to comic or a book on how to make a comic. I think it's inspiring to imagine that could be them someday. And I don't think that this has to be exclusive to just learning how to comment, you know, learning how to be a cartoonist. I think you mentioned this earlier, the skill set carries over into so many things. You know, my son made a PowerPoint for a digital lecture, probably with Google Slides, but for his class, and he incorporated shapes and objects and, you know, that he created, and it was a beautiful slideshow. So I think, like, the skill can transfer to a lot of different things. You're basically taking a big topic or subject and boiling it down to a few panels, a few images, and who doesn't want that skill set today?
True.
So I think the more you just can keep honing in on what people enjoy doing and putting opportunity in front of them, probably we're all better off for it.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, beautifully put. I think it is a language where a lot of times it may not get discovered in students because they think they can't draw. And often I hear people say, you know, well, I'd love to be able to, you know, to do that, to mind map or whatever, but yeah. I can't draw. What would you tell them?
I would give them a name. Are you ready for it?
Yeah.
Ed, I would give them this name, Ed Emberley, Emberley.
Uh-huh.
And Ed Emberley is this, he's actually a children's book author, but he also is known for creating this incredible series, please check it out, on how to draw. He can teach you and like with how to draw anything through his method of just using shapes and lines. And so we actually even have the Center for Cartoon Studies where, you know, we have like award-winning cartoonists attending the school. We take all the students through an Ed Emberley comic exercise because it takes away that pressure and burden of learning how to draw. You can tell a story with very simple shapes and images that are made out of, you know, and characters that are made out of shapes and lines and letters. And Ed's method was probably, I mean, I think he started this probably in the, this is going to date him a little bit, but probably in the 60s or 70s, because I remember growing up with one of his books, How to Draw Books.
Uh-huh.
And I still have it today. I still have it today in my closet. They're not that same book. Not the same book, but I have many of his books. He's a friend. And, I mean, I find he's somebody who empowers everyone to draw and to tell your own stories through your drawings. Like the obstacle of, like you just said, I can't draw the human form. I don't know how to draw this. I don't know how to draw objects. I don't know perspective. That's not important for this. You know, you start producing, start using the, you know, a simple approach. Don't give yourself all that pressure. If you look at my comic, don't, please do not share that with, like, your son. I'm not, you know, I feel like my comic probably is an example of that. You know, I can draw great if I have the time, and, you know, there, if I really put in the effort, I can draw the human form. I can, you know, but I'm not somebody who can just quickly draw characters. And unfortunately for me, like, I, at some point in time, I'm not sure how it happened, but I moved into administration. And so there's less time at the drawing table, but I love Ed Epperle's How to Draw. Basically, you know, it empowers you to be able to get over that hurdle of, like, not being able to participate in this visual literacy world we're in. Because technically we all know how to draw a box, we all know how to create a, you know, make a triangle, and before you know, we're drawing a box with a line or two for legs and a tail, right?
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
so
great
a
advice.
Rectangle, a triangle, and a couple lines, and you have a little cute box.
Okay, well, that's wonderful. Thank you so much. It's really cool, I think, what you're doing there. And it's been...
Thank you.
It'll be really fun sharing this with everybody.